Good evening, Patriots. Another beautiful evening, close of a day, long day. You know, it's interesting. For a guy like me, and I don't know if I'm an exception to this, but I have followed news literally since as long as I can remember. I remember when I was in middle school, and I would spend my lunch breaks, rather than screwing around doing whatever, I'd go into the library and usually bring a sack lunch. And I would go into the library after quickly eating or sometimes sneaking my food in. And I would read all sorts of news. Primarily, I was really fascinated with military events, what was happening globally, trying to get a picture of the sorts of things that were happening. So I say that because it's news and trying to develop a historical context of things and how things are working and coming together has been part of my life, most of my life, in one way or another, and at some points much more than others. My degree from college is in history, and I had an amazing experience in college, a good one. And I started my master's actually in comparative literature and really became bored with the university and the liberalism there and just decided that was enough. But always about putting things in historical context. And current events were part of it. So as I sit here today, and I find myself literally not even having any interest in news, I almost have to force myself to engage in news. And there's a number of levels of that. You know, the first levels of this is it's just noise. And the headline spinning that's going on is what always seems to happen, no matter who's president. There's always this headline spinning because everybody has all this maximum traffic before the election. And then this particular election, there was continued traffic up until the very last minute. In the 2016 election, the massive drop-off, huge drop-off after the events starting on November 9th, but from November 3rd all the way up to about January 7th or 8th, and even beyond that, I'd say probably up to January 20th or 21st, and we've seen it a lot even on traffic on the web, just a real peak of everybody's interest. And myself even there, I was there, and it's kind of out of that pile of ashes that we developed the daily news program with the Spiff team, which has just started to look at some of the snarky and look at news from a real snarky angle to have a little bit of fun with the craziness that's going on. And there's an incredible number of anomalies, obviously, that we can see. We know that things aren't adding up. And I think that adds to the untruthfulness of what's being reported. And there's a real strong sense that we are within the realm right now of untruths, that no matter what side you're on or what you're rooting for, both are playing for power. Hopefully, one is one side, and I say this sincerely. I mean, I'm hoping that the side that we think is our side is vying for the good power of the people, and not just another version of the same old nonsense again. And that's part of where we come in heavily in our faith. But there's something else that's transformed here. And it's a process that I've witnessed and even in myself. And it's been growing over the last few years, in particular the last year, that as we pursue this deeper and we explore the greater meanings of what's going on, I find myself digging into the purpose of being here. And that leads to the reflections of this walk of what we're actually part of. And then with these last few weeks in particular, where there's been pretty much a disengagement from news and the realizations of a real deep meaning of here are coming clear. And with that, there seems to be almost a place to walk in this world and completely shut off the news, and nothing will really become of anything that's negative unless we choose it. That's a little bit idealistic, perhaps. But I think that there's a sense, I get this sense, that there is such an immense opportunity right now for us to walk in with God, to walk boldly with God and trust so deeply in God. And that doorway's open, and it's a matter of a choice. And with that comes an amazing value shift. Tonight I opened up Sermon on the Mount, and I was just kind of reading through, which is Matthew 5-11. And I'm struck by how much more meaning there is in something that I've read many times. But how much more meaning there is now that we've been through this trial. And we've literally been through an amazing trial, all of us, in the last 5 years. And really, that's not defined by party nor defined by left or right. Everybody on this earth has been through an amazing trial. The emotional swings, the intensity of looking at things, the reactions to things, this manufactured division between us has been literally exhausting and tormenting at points. I think everybody has been through a moment where we're just like, I can't believe it, what's going on? But feeling that weight, we felt the visceral piece of this kind of dark hand that was wanting to push the pinprick model into us, mandating that. We felt the oppression of the face diaper. We have felt an incredible sense of light and dark grinding at each other. And we got to a very pinnacle moment when we were expecting to see an outcome as we would want it, which would be President Trump in the office. And instead, it kind of went away with a whisper. Not what we expected. The loud lion stepped quietly off the stage. And we've been left, in a sense, to wander the desert. And I think that's a fairly accurate portrayal of where we are. And in the process, I think it's been an unbelievable gift from God for us to wander a bit and to reflect deeply where we are. I tend to not spend a lot of time trying to lament the circumstances we're in. And I try to look very much at the opportunities that are set before us. I went to a sales lecture once by a guy who had written a book on positive thinking. And this whole story is another story I'll tell another time. But it's interesting how he would portray this. He put his fingers to his lips, and then as he talked, he would move his fingers from his lips to his ear. So, and as he did this, he would say, the one person that hears us more than anybody in the world is ourselves. So if we're going to be, to extend that to what I'm saying here, is if we're going to be spending time lamenting and feeling down and begging to God about all the things that are wrong, the first victim of all of that isn't that God's going to fix that right away, or maybe he will, but in time or however that is. But the major victim of all of that is us. Because the words that we're speaking are being heard by us and being pushed through us like a revolving door. Where we sit gives us incredible opportunity, an opportunity truly to see truth, but most importantly, to see truth within us. And that to me is profound. It truly is profound. So I want to read this 5-11, and then I'm going to loop back on an interesting perspective I want to talk about a little bit with President Trump. So let me begin. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they should be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Those words that Christ spoke are so profound in a way for me now, in this moment, and have such greater meaning and exposure to who deep within my soul than I ever imagined. And much of that has come from this roller coaster we've been on, and in this sullen point that we're in right now, where literally the man that has been our voice, who's been our advocate, the lion, has literally stepped aside. And I gave that a lot of thought tonight as I was reflecting on this passage, the Sermon on the Mount, of Christ's words. And something struck me. And I think it's an interesting twist on events, or at least a way to re-lens events and reconsider what we have actually witnessed. I think we can mutually agree that no matter what happened, there was no avenue to victory for President Trump. The corruption and deceit of the leaders that were to be ruling us in the name of justice had turned not only on us, but they have turned on God. And in so doing, are betraying God in the greatest sense. And justice will come in that sense. There's no escaping that. And I would argue that in that point, there were probably many more levels of injustice that were happening that we have not seen. And I think some of that has been fairly well exposed by people like Patrick Byrne, who's talked about the inner chambers and those around President Trump that were literally advising him wrongly and being so deceitful to them. But the thing that's interesting in this passage, in the Sermon on the Mount, is when you read this and you read the words like, blessed are the merciful, or blessed are the pure at heart, or blessed are the meek, all of those are phraseologies that can easily and are regularly used by this kind of Luciferian order that runs things as literally worthless, as they are weak, they have no strength. And yet what Christ has portrayed here on the Sermon on the Mount is how much strength there is in that, because there is something greater in life than what is there before us. So I begin to wonder, and this is a postulate, there's no way I can prove this, unless I had an opportunity and I was blessed enough to sit down and ask President Trump himself. But I begin to wonder if he didn't simply take the right walk with God and the right walk as an apostle, as a prophet, to step away willingly. Not because he was broken, but because he was strong. And I think this is the path of what we're looking at, but it's strength in a different way. It's a righteousness. It's a clarity of understanding that in order to build strength, he must step out of the ring, for a time at least. And in so doing, gains the greatest position in the strength of negotiation. And that includes even those in the military. We know well enough that there is plenty of deceit going on in the ranks of the senior commanders in our military that did not want to support him. They didn't want to see certain things happen because they didn't want to get involved in what they call politics. And I would add other layers to that. Influences by the CFR and so forth. And I don't know how exactly deep that goes, but I know that there's an apprehension to step in where there probably should have been more. And there were other things at play that we can't see, that we can see indications of. But what a miraculous thing, and what a statement of faith when President Trump, literally knowing the risk he was taking, steps away and walks that path of a blessed, to give space to let the truth be shown to the world and to let all of those that were sniping at him, that were saying the things, those that were reviling him or persecuting him or uttering all kinds of evil against him, all falsely on the account of God. And he steps away. And in so doing, gives space for all of us to witness, and in that process, all of us to choose. We have to choose in this moment in time. Do we choose the path of righteousness with God and standing firmly there and disregarding all the noise? Or do we try to dig into this nonsense, this fray of crazy worry and consternation and division and this sort of hand-wringing that's so unnecessary? Because if we follow our president's path, our president's path is a path of peace and nonviolence, but it's a path of ultimate power. And I've reflected on this very deeply as a person who has been in war, a person who has witnessed the killings of war, the destructions of war, and I have a deep, deep admiration for what I'm witnessing from our president. A man who has literally stepped out in peace, letting the truth be revealed and giving us all a choice of where we stand. Do we stand and walk his path of righteousness and peace, and in the effect, create one of the ultimate positions of the art of war? It's the ultimate play of appear weak when you're strong. But it's such an amazing application of that principle. Because in this moment, not only is he strong, but every moment that he remains quiet, he becomes stronger. And those that are scrambling to try to maximize what they have supposedly gained, everything that they do increasingly becomes corrupted and increasingly becomes exposed. And the choice is for us. There is a great path here of healing this nation. It has nothing to do with violence. And I struggle with this every day. I'm not telling you this out of some pipe dream. I'm not telling you this out of somebody who has like suddenly become a pacifist in the world. That's not me. But I have become respective of the words of Christ and the walk with God in a way that I can never fully express fully in words. But to know that there is something so, so profound in this place. There is more power than I've ever imagined and ever conceived the deeper I walk into it. It's a place that is so incredible that it's a force that literally transforms everything. And it's a walk now that I find it. And this is a bold statement for me to say, and I expressed this in a previous episode, but it came to me one morning in prayer when I was asking the question, a question that I've asked for years. Could I walk the path of Christ in those last moments? Could I have done what he did, or would I fail? And I heard it as clearly as ever. You would succeed because you have trust in me. And I sat for a moment and I went, wow, what an incredible time we live. An absolutely amazing time. And I'm looking at our president who has been in this place, and he was bold. He was courageous. And of course, the naysayers, the fools, those that see everything through the lens of black and white and fists and swords accuse him of quitting and walking out of the way, when in fact he became stronger as he stepped into that place. And with that, he brought a power of God into this world, because he didn't ask for people to follow him. He just asked for people to have no violence. That's profound. He didn't say, follow me. He didn't divide the country. He didn't say, we're going to have two governments. All he said was, no violence, no violence, no violence. And then he said, I'll be back in some capacity. I'm very honest when I say this. I'm not sure that the right place for him, and hear me with this and don't get upset. I'm not sure that the right place for him is the presidency. This is a man that's greater than the presidency. I mean what I just said. He sees things and has walked a path. I don't care what people say about him. He's walked a path that's more noble and beyond even the level of this nation because he's speaking to the world. He's speaking to patriots worldwide. It has not been about politics for him. It's been about freeing people. It's been about restoring a constitution. It's been about restoring sovereignty. And I think we would be doing a disservice if we're clinging on to his only role as being our president when he, in fact, could have stepped into something greater. The amazing thing is, and I'm not trying to any way elevate him up to some deity level or something. I just respect so much the strength it took in that moment when we were looking to him and clinging to him so much. And basically, he handed us the keys and he trusted us to make the right decision and to do the right thing. We are patriots. We are Americans. And with that, we have a fire that burns within us if we are truly awake and we embrace that. It's a fire that burns like a flame that only God can give. We feel and live liberty. We have that deep within our souls. It lights us up. We stand boldly, but we don't stand boldly ready to fight in the way of fists. We stand first and foremost in that strength of faith, giving ourselves to God and asking God to guide us. How do we know? And the answer is we don't. But how do we know that God did not ask and guide President Trump to do exactly as he did, which was to gracefully step out and ask those words? And the most important thing is that either way, that was God's message. Because that's exactly what God would want. That's exactly what Christ would have expected us to do. So whether it was intentional or whether he did it because for whatever his motives, the fact of the matter is that our president walked in a moment. He showed us a pathway towards greater power, greater strength than anything he's ever done, because he chose to say three times, no violence, no violence, no violence, and walk respectfully and gracefully and trust that we would do what we needed to do. I sit in a place right now where I truly have encouragement in a different way. I don't need the news. I don't fear anything that this clown show in D.C. is going to do. I don't fear the rhetoric and nonsense. When I say fear, it's not the right term. I had somebody say the other day, man, you say fear a lot. You must be afraid of a lot of things. No, I'm not. I'm afraid of really nothing. When I say that, there's no anxiety or concern about the mouth service that these tyrants give. What I feel is that there is such an incredible opportunity for all of us to embrace the power of God in that walk of faith in this moment, to push in, as I say all the time, but to push in so deeply into God and with such strength in our faith, to honor what our president has said, and to literally align with him in all that we do to create the most incredible force ever imagined that's centered on aspects of God, faith, prayer, and the power that that brings, which is greater than any force any musket could ever bring. It is truly the force of moving mountains from here to there. But it's applied in a completely different way. It's applied towards saving a nation. It's applied towards restoring God into a nation. And that's not ever going to happen if we have violence. And that's something ultimately we have to center on. If we are truly committed to bringing God back to this country, if we are truly committed to putting In God We Trust on the mantle, and if we expect that having violence against one another is going to achieve that, we're fooling ourselves, because all that will bring is wrath. The Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacekeepers, for they shall be called the sons of God. It's time, patriots, for us to walk that path, to commit fully to what that means, to pay attention to what just happened before us now 11 days ago, and to realize that in the quiet walk in God, the graceful walk of no violence, that we achieve a greater victory than one can ever imagine, and a greater victory both here and wherever we arrive at the feet of God. For we become the peacemakers, and we shall be called the sons of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the incredible experience that you give us each and every day. We thank you for the eyes that you give us to see, to observe the small things, to pay attention to the strength that comes from what we're told is weak, to remember always that the greatest strength is that which we are been convinced or been trained to believe gives us weakness, and yet it's not. It's that walk, Lord, with love. It's that walk with respect. It's that walk as the peacemakers. Bless us, Lord, in this walk. Bless us as the peacemakers. Let us understand the truth, the true sense of righteousness and what it takes to be in the kingdom of heaven. Let us always revere the power of Christ in all that he did, the strength that it took to walk that line of love and spirit and truth. May we never vary. We pray for our president. We pray for his strength. And we pray for his continued leadership in whatever form it takes. And we pray for the many patriots around the world, both here and wandering, to give them strength in knowing that no one is alone, that we are strong, united, and that we are all united through you as one. And we say these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. So, patriots, I just ask you one thing, and that's to reflect very deeply on this path of the peacemaker. Spend a little time perhaps reading the Sermon on the Mount and reflect on it. We're in a different type of fight. It's a spiritual fight. And we're trying to build the bridges, not tear them down. We're trying to awaken the sleepers, and we're trying to crack open the dark hearts. And that's the walk that we have to commit to. And it's a big one. It's a hard one for every one of us. But I know in the heart of my hearts, I know in the truth of what God speaks, that these times would not, all of this in these times would not be presented to us if he did not believe that his children could achieve such greatness. Let's not let him down. Head up and eyes forward. Push into this fight, but push in with prayer. Pray like you've never prayed before. Be grateful and thankful to all that God brings. Celebrate all that he gives us each day, no matter how challenging. Regard the challenges not with lament, but with joy, as an opportunity to find a greater strength within him. And above all, remember that he is always with us. He will never forsake us. And in the end, he always wins. Have a blessed night. I'll see you in the morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until the next time, God bless and out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose, reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment, been out of our depth, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay a while and you'll see that every broken dream fits together flawlessly.
There's a revolution rising in the shadows.